Who's the most important sports team and sports story in Toledo?
The Dana Open being done after 40 years.
Oh, really?
Yeah, did you see that?
Nope. Toledo's professional basketball team, the Glass City Wranglers. Jesus God. Tonight's signing day.
The Glass City Wranglers are a BFD, Dave.
I know.
What are we doing here, Dave?
Talking about Indiana.
Ohio State, Indiana. I can't believe you haven't sang yet.
IU. That's not their song, IU.
If IU wins, it's going to be because you have been singing the IU fight song for 11 weeks.
That's true.
IU.
Dun, 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 IU.
Ohio State beat Northwestern. Michigan is playing Northwestern.
Yep.
The Rockets are playing the Bobcats tonight.
That's right.
We're going to have to, travel in time as the show is released on Friday. But
oh, yeah.
The,
I forgot
we're
about
recording
that.
On
we can
Wednesday.
Just, we can just skip that.
Oh, we'll just acknowledge it.
Okay.
It's no big deal.
We'll acknowledge the fourth wall.
You know what I read is in terms of stats that I thought was interesting? Toledo's Jerwan Newton shares the national lead for touchdown catches with 10.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I read that from our own Kyle Rowland.
All right. That's a good stat.
You know, you'd think that would be your Jeremiah Smith or your, what's his name? Ryan, what's Ryan from Alabama?
Right. What's that? Oh,
was
Ryan.
Busy
Ryan
on plenty
Williams?
Of fish there? 70% bucks, easy. That's
oh,
what my dad
yeah.
said.
85, looked like it. Looked yeah, like he said a little corner pocket of purple.
He said it was an Ohio State game.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, the amount of Ohio State graduates that are living in Chicago, not even traveling for the game, that just live there is incredible. They have a huge alumni.
Well, think about Northwestern. Your team sucks. Everyone who's a Northwestern fan has been to Wrigley a million times, whereas Ohio State, national title race, Wrigley Field might be a bucket list trip for you. So makes sense.
Do you have any what's left on your college football bucket list?
College football bucket list? I don't know. I've checked a lot of them off, going everywhere in the Big Ten, Rose Bowl, all the big bowl games. Probably
at Hawaii.
At Hawaii. That would be awesome. We're trying to get Toledo Athletic Director Brian Blair to schedule Toledo for a game at Hawaii.
We'll have to do a live spot from there.
That would be the ultimate boondoggle. We'll have to do a live show for sure. Both of us and probably a producer.
We're going to get a little practice doing a live show.
We've talked about this before, but Oklahoma, Texas, Red River Shootout at the State Fair, at the Cotton Bowl.
Phenomenal.
That would be awesome. And probably just a couple of those SEC stadiums like Tiger Stadium, LSU at night. You always hear about Death Valley, Alabama, Georgia. All those would be awesome. But
yeah, I would like to go to the world's largest cocktail party.
Yeah.
That always sounds fun to me.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Speaking of buckets, the world of college football exists within the bucket of David Briggs. He's the Toledo Blade sports columnist. I am your co-host, producer, and street gabbler, Phil Kaplan. We are here in week 12 of the Heart of the Rivalry, week 13, according to college football, because of week zero, or however it is they're doing it. We're just going to get right into it. The most exciting matchup, I think, thus far, Ohio State, Oregon, yes, that's bigger. But in terms of Big Ten play, we've been looking forward to Ohio State, Indiana for a while now, and we're getting it. What do you see?
Absolutely. I mean, I think it's kind of what we've been looking forward to all year, probably since the schedules first came out. We circled that day before the Michigan game. Indiana picked to finish 17th in the Big Ten.
We did.
Won three games last year. We were all thinking this was going to be the big game. Penn State, Ohio State, Michigan.
You had Cignetti circled for Coach
Oregon.
Of the Year.
Yeah.
Yep.
How about, well, I mean, maybe Cignetti knew it. Remember that that rally at the beginning of the season? He's trying to get the fans pumped up at IU at a Hoosiers basketball game, and he shouts out Purdue sucks, and then waits for the dramatic pause as everyone's going nuts, and so does Michigan and Ohio State.
His own Jim Tressel moment.
So yeah, absolutely. And, so it will be fascinating. I don't know. Is this the reality check coming for Indiana, or is this the you picked Ohio State to just absolutely blow the doors off Penn State in Happy Valley?
I did.
Similar pick this week? Or are we looking for, especially with the new offensive line injury, that's kind of devastating for Ohio State?
The thing that I'm happy about is Ohio State's defense is rounding into form. They've been playing great. This is going to be Indiana's biggest test. And I know that they're going to come in hungry. I was thinking about the last time Indiana beat Ohio State in the Shoe. Remember, this is in the mid-80s. They had this incredible running back who was like 5'6".
Anthony Davis.
That's him. Yeah. That's him. Yeah, they hung painted bedsheets that said, this is the worst day in Ohio State football history. So I don't see that repeating. As you know, though, I may be wearing scarlet-colored glasses. I thought Will Howard looked as crisp as he's looked in quite some time, throwing the ball against Northwestern.
Yeah.
So I don't know what you're going to take from that. It's nice when a team gets challenged. The team learns things about itself. So even though Ohio State on the schedule has not necessarily had challenging opponents, they've been some challenging games, and the team has had to fight through that. So I think that all bodes well. I think this actually just sharpens Ohio State to whoop that team up north the following week. So I wouldn't say that it's a blowout, but
just 30 or 40 points.
I mean, I think Ohio State is going to hang 30 or more on Indiana, yeah, for sure. It's just, does Indiana get to the 20s or does Indiana stay in the teens?
Yeah. Indiana has had an off week last week to kind of
To scheme Netty.
Boil into a froth. I just wanted to read. It's kind of fascinating. Indiana obviously is compiled by guys nobody wanted out of high school. Not nobody wanted, but the guys who almost all started at G5 schools. Kurt Zanetti, yes, came from James Madison and the Sun Belt. Big winner there. He took 12 guys from James Madison and a dozen more from the MAC and Conference USA and those other leagues. And those are the guys who are playing the huge roles for Indiana, including none other than former MAC player of the year, Curtis Rourke from Ohio. So, but it's just funny. I mean, all the talk of NIL, you know, Ohio State is the team everybody nationally has kind of said is hashtag built or bought, not built, as Michigan fans would throw at Ohio State. But Tommy Tuberville, now a politician.
Senator.
Former Senator Tuberville, official senator, unlike Jim Tressel. You know, former Texas Tech coach, former Ole Miss, former Auburn coach.
But who walked out of contracts.
Walked out of many contracts. He's all for NIL reform. You know, we've got to get government involved here. But he said, just kind of lamenting the modern state of college football now, he says, you don't build a team anymore. You pretty much buy a team now. That was a little bit forbidden when I was in coaching. A little bit forbidden back when he was in the SEC. I mean, Cam Newton, a little bit forbidden. Basically, that means we were able to do it, but the other teams weren't. So that's ridiculous that it's a level playing field. But anyway, he said, it was a little bit forbidden when I was in coaching, but now it's legal. Look at Indiana. They went out and bought them a football team, and look at where they're at. As if, so they've bought some of the better players in the MAC and James Madison, all these guys who were cast off out of high school. And now look at them. Poor little Ohio State has to come up against these big, bad Hoosiers who have just been bought and paid for.
The James Madison gang.
The Van Buren gang from James Madison. Total mercenaries. I mean, Ohio State, these just good corn-fed Ohio boys who have just been looking forward to their chance against Indiana. All they want is a chance to run out of the horseshoe tunnel in front of mom and dad.
Just to have a chance against the Hoosiers.
But, yeah, so
what are the Hoosiers, the cream and crimson?
The cream and crimson. I think the talent differential is a little overrated. If you just look at it pure, obviously Ohio State on paper is just 20 times more talented than Indiana. I mean, the most as talented as any team in the country. Yep. You look at Indiana's recruiting rankings, all 2 and 3 stars. But all these guys are veteran guys from winning FBS programs, G5 programs, and these aren't just normal G5 players. Indiana's going picking the cream of the crop from all these guys. I mean, the other schools are poaching the MAC's best players. They're not poaching your backup linemen and saying, here's a chance. So I think the combination of experience coming from winning programs and just Kurt Cignetti is an awesome coach. I think this is going to be if Ohio State gets rolling and they get the momentum going and just kind of that shock of speed and size and talent is just too much for Indiana, I could see the snowball rolling and Ohio State rolling. But I would think it's more of a, kind of like you said, like 34, 24 maybe?
I could see that. Does this, rather than making Cignetti into a checkbook, doesn't this make him out to be more of just a incredible, like, Terminator eye for talent.
Right.
I mean, to bring that many guys from one school that you first brought to that school,
yeah,
that's pretty incredible. That's got to be a unique bond for those players as well.
Oh, absolutely. And what an advantage for a new coach to have 12 of your best players from your old system to kind of show everybody the ropes. And this is how we do it. This is the culture. So, yeah, big advantage.
He seems like a serious guy that would put that, like, right, culture brand stamp in there right away. Yeah, he does.
Very confident. You remember his quote about just kind of getting frustrated with some of the questions early about Indiana picked to finish 17th and just, you know, old woe is Indiana, probably going to suck again. And he just flatly said, Google me. I win.
It's hard not to like the guy.
I Googled him. Looks like he's won.
Looks like he's won. Okay. So let's get to this right now since we're talking about it. Who? I'm an Ohio State fan. I haven't scouted Indiana all year. Who's their best player?
I mean, probably the guy who makes him go is Curtis Rourke, the quarterback. I mean, they
all goes through him.
He runs that offense perfectly. Great passer. Got the running threat. Couldn't have a better. I mean, he's been as good as anybody in the Big Ten this year.
And then Ohio State's vulnerability again comes down to its offensive line. What's going on there?
Yeah, that's. I feel like if you looked at before this season, Ohio State is so loaded in so many places. The defensive backfield, defensive line, running back, receivers. That's areas where they can afford some injuries because it's, you know, the assembly line just keeps going and going. Offensive line and quarterback were the two areas where you were looking like, this looks a little flimsy, question marks to begin with, and there's not much depth. Well, now Ohio State has been absolutely devastated on the offensive line, losing two of their five starters, and not just two of their five starters, but their two best offensive linemen, Seth McLaughlin, the center, ruptured his Achilles tendon in practice on Tuesday, out for the season. He was on an All-American pace, just playing awesome. Their left tackle, Josh Simmons, was also playing he was in the All-American mix as well, playing great at left tackle. He was out for the season, injured in the Oregon game. So they've had to move some guys around. And who knows, maybe Luke Montgomery, the kid from Finley, he's kind of on the up and he's right in the mix there to maybe slide into guard. Yeah. I don't know if he will, but he'll be right on the fringes there and he'll be in that discussion.
Do us proud, Luke. Do
Northwest Ohio proud.
That's right.
It's going to be interesting. It shouldn't be an issue, you wouldn't think, in home games against Ohio State or against Indiana and Michigan. But once you get into Oregon and the Big Ten title game and the playoff, and now that I'm getting ahead of myself, I'm sure Indiana will win. But that's where
you've been a secret Hoosier homer this whole time.
That's where the questions would be. I mean, Ohio State has two great running backs, but if you're center and your left tackle, I mean, that's kind of, I don't know. It'll be interesting. Carson Hinsman has come in and done a very good job at left guard. They kicked Donovan Jackson out to left tackle from guard. And Hinsman started 10 games started at center last year. So they probably will move him to center. But again, I don't know. It's kind of up in the air. The coaches have their job cut out for them. Probably going to have to alter play calling a little bit.
I look for the time zone and atmosphere difference to weigh heavily on the Hoosiers and throw them off their game. Coming from Indiana, where they don't observe the daylight savings time and are technically an hour behind. It doesn't matter.
Don't let
those facts get
in
the way.
Didn't that change in like 25 years ago?
Indiana's on a different weather system than Columbus. Different times, nighttime there.
That's true.
Speaking of doing a Northwestern.
I read somewhere that like the sun... Or somewhere where the sun just
sun set, never sets on
not,
the Ohio State
and
Empire.
It's not gonna rise for another 65 days. So 65 straight days of darkness. It might have been Alaska, but I think it also might have been Bloomington. I'm not sure.
Speaking of doing Northwest Ohio proud, did you see that the guy that blocked the kick to seal the Packers' victory over the Bears, Bowling Green's own Carl Brooks?
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
What an absolute stud he was in college, and he's doing great with the Packers. That's cool.
Let's stick with BG. They're going to end up playing Ball State this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's BG still only has one loss in the conference, even though they're 6-4 overall. This take care of business sets them up for the MAC title game.
Yeah, absolutely. Ball State just fired its coach earlier in
the week. After nine years, Mike New.
It was funny after Bowling Green's big win over Western Michigan. Scott Loeffler is just talking about, you know, not going to we're going to celebrate for 24 hours and then move on. And he's just like, we got to go 1-0 next week. And Ball State is just such
1-0 next week. That's big coach
no,
talk.
No, Ball State is such an incredible challenge. And he kept repeating how much respect he has for Mike New, who is just an incredible coach and as good of a coach as there is in the country and just a great husband and father and leader of men and all
that.
Are you
saying he jinxed him?
No. But then in the press conference after he was fired, Scott Loeffler is kind of basically saying, it's just a tough business. You know, they were only 30 points away from first place if you look at a few of their games. And, you know, if they had won this game and that game and three bounces in this game.
It bounces funny.
I know. So, yeah, I think Bowling Green should take care of business. You never know how the team's going to emotionally react to their coach getting fired from the Ball State perspective. But it's going to be a game probably on a cold day in front of 117 people at Ball State Stadium. Also, what are we doing here just having a random game on a Saturday? Miami played last night. Miami and Bowling Green are playing next Friday. So Bowling Green goes from back-to-back all these weeknight games, then just like, oh, let's give them a Saturday game so they can play their biggest game of the season on short rest back in a midweek slot. I mean, that is peak Maction dumbassery for you.
Is that a hyphened word, or would you spell that all together? Would you put a hyphen in there?
Peak Maction dumbassery?
Yeah, so there's hyphens in there.
I would say so, yeah.
Okay, so
we'll have to check with our.
So speaking of midweek Maction judgments, tonight the Rockets, because we're recording on a Wednesday, this will come out on a Friday, so the game will be decided. So yeah. What you say here will really be put to the test of
reality.
We can
make our predictions and delete them if they're wrong.
That's correct.
All right.
OU's got a tough.
Toledo 38-24, baby.
38-24. That's a common score. You could win a lot just guessing that score. Okay, so. OU's got a tough quarterback. What's his name? Parker Parkers. Checks his notes. Navarro. That's the guy. Okay, so what does UT have to do to win against the vaunted Parker Parkerson Navarro?
Are we really talking about this?
Yeah, I mean, that's part of the show. It's the heart of the rivalry.
It would have been nice if we could have talked about this, if we could have had the show tomorrow, but said we were taping on Wednesday. So then we could predict all the things that we already knew happened and just make ourselves look like geniuses. I mean, everybody knows we're already just incredible football minds who just know ball at another level.
Regardless of quantum entanglement theory, we are bound by the constructs of linear time, and that's what we're dealing with.
Okay. I'm going to pretend like I've already seen the game, and we'll just delete this anyway. Yeah, it was just a crazy night at the Glass Bowl. I mean, you wish they would have scheduled it for Tuesday night in the beautiful 60-degree weather. It was a tough crowd at the Glass Bowl. Very, very windy. You would have liked to see more fans, but at least Toledo got the big win, got off to a hot start, up 21-17 at halftime, and then wrapped it up
42-17, 21 unanswered in the second half.
Despite three straight fumbles out of the half. But
do you love it when a team? Don't you love it in a game where there's the back to back turnovers?
Yeah.
You know, one of the all time back to back turnovers is our own Maurice Claret on Sean Taylor.
That's right.
That was incredible.
Yeah.
You don't see that enough. You love it. You love it when the guy returning the interception is fumbles though, and then it's returned by the offense.
That's the ultimate coaching football cliche: the quick change drills.
Like quick change offense. I had a coach that used to say the outcome is the outcome. And I just thought that was profound. I think that's just like good philosophy to just like deal with life.
It is what it is.
But this was it is what it is.
Yeah, that's really profound. That is profound.
That's good. It's good enough. The outcome is the outcome. Yeah.
Except when it's not.
Well, there's always an exception.
Well, it could be voter
fraud. You are the exception for the heart of the rivalry. He's Dave Briggs. I'm Phil Kaplan. We got a short week next week, but we're going to get two shows in next week. We're going to record next week on Tuesday, and Heart of the Rivalry is going to come out on Wednesday, so you can listen to it, get your appetite up for Thanksgiving. But then, prior to the Ohio State-Michigan game, Dave Briggs and I, Phil Kaplan, we will be at the Rally of the Rivals at Fleetwoods downtown, live spot, 3 p.m.
That'd be sick.
Mark your calendars. I thought the Tommy Tupperville stuff was good enough for halftime.
That's good.
He's such a shill.
Hopefully, I mean, if we do that, hopefully it doesn't require much editing.
I mean, it's one thing to be a hypocrite, but to talk so sideways out of your mouth.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. What a fool.